In today's programme, we look at two novels, both published within the last 2 years by American writers with Czech roots. By coincidence, both have chosen the same series of wartime events as their starting point. They look back to 1942, when a group of Czech patriots was parachuted from London to assassinate the brutal Nazi chief in occupied Bohemia and Moravia, Reinhard Heydrich, an event that triggered cruel retributions and the cold-blooded destruction of the entire village of Lidice. In very different ways, the novelists Mark Sloka and Joseph Hurka have both tried to bridge the historical gap between wartime Central Europe and the present day in North America. They deal with the importance of remembering the past in order to understand the present. As Mark Sloka puts it in his novel The Visible World,
"It is up to us, the living, to supply a shape where none exists, to rescue from the flood even those we never knew. Like beggars, we must patch the universe as best we can."
A few days ago, I spoke to Mark on a phone line to his home in New York.
By nature, I'm someone who tries to salvage from the wreckage of history. I want to salvage something, and that's where the stories come in. And at its worst, that can lead, I think, to a certain kind of sentimentality, and it's something I try to guard against as much as possible. But, I mean, to my mind, fiction is how we endure. Fiction, that the stories we tell is how we make sense or try to make sense of things that are often inexplicable. And, you know, the stories that I know, the stories I inherited.
Mark Sloka's novel is at one level a love story, which, as he puts it, leaves blood on the floor and wreckage in its wake. But it is trying to do a great deal more than that. It tells a story of heroism and resistance at the time of the Heydrich assassination, as pieced together by a second-generation Czech-American, who is trying to make sense of his parents' lives and to understand why there seems to be a shadow over their past.
"I was born 3 years later into a world that felt just slightly haunted, like the faint echo of an earlier one. We were living in New York then. At night, high in our apartment in Queens, my mother would curl herself against my back, and I would smell her perfume, her hair, the deep cave-like warmth of her, and she would hum some Czech song or other until I pretended to be asleep."
Like his narrator, Mark Sloka was born in New York into a Czech family, and so I asked him to what extent the book was autobiographical.
Growing up in New York was kind of an oddly sort of, it was an odd childhood, because in some sense I think I felt that New York was a suburb of Prague, and all of our friends were Czech, my first language was Czech. So in a sense my present was always being colored by and shaped by the old world, as they say, by the historical past, by the stories that my parents' friends told. So this is very much an act of reconstruction for me, but a very peculiar kind, right? Because I'm reconstructing something which is actually my own creation and which I'm trying to shape in some way that might be believable but wasn't literally true. It's cobbled together out of bits of truth. I have this notion that basically the past belongs to fictions. I mean, if you told me the story of what you did this morning in Prague, you'd be telling me a story. It wouldn't be false, it would just be shaped.
In The Visible World, the narrator's mother is haunted by the memory of a man that she had loved during the war, and in the course of the book, the narrator tries to unravel the story as it was played out all those years before. This is where the fiction interacts with real historical events. The mother's wartime lover, Tomáš Bém, is a fictional eighth member of the team that plans and carries out the Heydrich assassination, an act of almost suicidal courage that still stands out as one of the defining moments of Czech 20th century history.
"Every now and again, against all the rules of human behavior, it occurred. An act of heroism planned in advance, undertaken for the right reasons, and carried out with the full knowledge, one might even say tragic knowledge, of the risks involved."
While the other members of the team are eventually cornered and make a last stand against the Gestapo in the crypt of the Church of St. Cyril and Methodius in Prague, Sloka's fictional hero survives. He is saved by his love for the narrator's mother, as he happens to leave the crypt in order to see her shortly before the Gestapo surrounds the building. In the end, he is unable to live with the knowledge of being the sole survivor. He disappears, leaving her a note.
"Please don't look for me. I didn't have the strength to say goodbye. I love you, will always love you. Forgive me." And my mother refolded the note and put it back under the salt shaker and began the rest of her life.
There are different ways of borrowing from history. You know, it can be done sort of more and less cheaply, more and less legitimately. I mean, you can make it into a carnival and dress it up and make it dance around. Or you can try to get at two things, at one thing by using another. In other words, I was also interested in what is the legacy of love lost? Because for some people, the loss of love is survivable, and for others, it really isn't. They become these walking wounds for the rest of their life.
I was intrigued by several common threads between this book, Mark Slocum's The Visible World, and Joseph Hawker's novel Before, also published in 2007. Just as Mark Slocum adds a fictional character to the story of the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, Joseph Hawker creates a young boy, Jerzy Posselt, who witnesses and survives the massacre at Lidice a few days after the Heydrich assassination. Joseph Hawker, who like Mark Slocum grew up with a vivid awareness of his Czech roots, also tells the story with hindsight, setting it in the context of contemporary New England. On the phone from his home in New Hampshire, he told me more.
Odd things were happening with me and my memory as I was doing this, because I often felt in the sections where I was writing about Lidice that I was living there. I felt that I was a part of it. And even though what I have is a somewhat fictionalized version of the story, I felt as if I could see the grass and I could see the church and I could see the houses. And I became so much a part of it that I felt I was living in it. And of course, I was also, as a novelist, I was using my memories of being in Czechoslovakia and seeing the countryside there.
In Joseph Hurka's novel, the main character Jiří is recovering from a stroke. In his mind, past and present become confused, and at points in the novel, traumatic memories leap back to the present, uncontrolled and frightening.
During the brain hemorrhage last June, Jiří had seen the walls of Lidice on fire, and he was looking around for Helena. He was shouting, terrified. They were only the black walls on fire, no houses, no people left. He could not remember where he was. He could remember Anna's name, for she was there, suddenly, alarmed, leaning over him, but he was not sure if he was in Massachusetts or Seattle or perhaps Prague.
As part of his therapy, Jiří writes down his memories, and he begins to formulate why he is doing so. To forget the crimes of the past is to grant the criminals a victory, and to acknowledge the totalitarian version of history.
They were determined to destroy any memory we had, you see, to put their vicious stamp on everything they touched. That is what such people do. They wipe out your memory, they replace it with their own. They want you to believe that your own history never existed, to loosen your moorings so they can control you.
When someone has been controlled, when they've been told what to eat and how to dress and how to think, they begin to lose their identity. And they really don't have anything to fight with. And I think this is the bottom line to these kind of situations. And as my character in the book says, Jiří at one point writes to his family, even if all they leave you with is wind and sky and grass, if that's all you have, you still have your memory, and you have to fight to remember. You have to fight to get that memory back. And that's, I think that's the essential ingredient that keeps the species moving on.
As a novel, Joseph Hurka's Before is more overt than Mark Slocum's The Visible World in its attempt to point to the contemporary relevance of the events of World War II. Hurka sets the novel on September the 10th, 2001, the day before the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
When I was in New York City not long after 9/11, I was at the site of the World Trade Center at Ground Zero. I was just a few months after it happened. What actually occurred to me was walking through that area, there were many walls that were covered with tributes and pictures of people who were still missing, and relatives were hoping that somehow they would show up alive, which of course there wasn't any chance of. And it reminded me of the many train stations my father had told me about after the war, which were full of pictures of people who were missing. And so these two things began to merge in my head as examples in human history of times when the totalitarian mind was most at work. It seemed to me that there was a very close parallel between the two of them.
And there is another contemporary thread to Joseph Hawker's novel. Settled in a comfortable neighborhood in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Jiří and his wife Anna have a young friend and neighbor, Taika LaFond, who often comes to visit them. But Taika becomes the victim of a stalker called Ghost Man. A man who, almost like a negative mirror image of Yeti, is haunted by his own past. In the dramatic culmination of the novel, it is Yeti who ends up rescuing Taika from this terrifying, shadowy figure. Here is a brief extract from that dramatic scene.
Yeti has his arms fixed around the waist. There are blows to his head as if a board is being swung at him repeatedly. He shuts his eyes, hunches his shoulders, squeezes into bone. It is like holding a desperate wild spider. Just hang on, goddammit, he tells himself. Just don't bloody let him go. There is a guttural scream from the man above, a hard cracking behind Yeti's ear. They are at the edge of the stairs, then they are falling.
And I'll leave it there so as not to spoil the story. Here are some details about both the novels that I've been talking about today. Firstly, Joseph Hurka's Before is published by Thomas Dunn Books, that's D-U-N-N-E, New York. And Mark Sloka's The Visible World, which we were talking about a bit earlier, is published by Houghton Mifflin Company in the United States and Portobello Books in the United Kingdom.